Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there across America, we ask you to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us one of my favorite guests, Barrett Schoess. And Barrett does a lot of research, a lot of studying, and she comes up with some amazing conclusions and amazing amounts of information. And we're going to be talking today about the Ark of Hope. Now, everybody's heard of the Ark of the Covenant, and you remember that Indiana Jones program where, Harrison Ford and the Germans were going after the Ark of the Covenant. Well, we don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is, but we know where the Ark of Hope is. And, of course, it has been built to almost the exact dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. It will be carried in a very, very similar manner. Instead of using acacia wood, as was used with the Ark of the Covenant, why this is made out of sycamore wood. What's the significance of that, Barrett? Why would they use sycamore wood rather than acacia wood?
Well, sycamore wood has to do with ancient, especially Egyptian mythology. It's connected to the goddess Isis. It's supposed to have been part of the worship, both of the living god, the goddess, and it was part of the death ceremony for various deities. So it was very much linked to occultism, occult power, the transmission or channeling of power, and that particular belief spread into many of the other Middle East, the Canaanite mythology, and was even touched on in the Babylonian mythology. The whole entire area where the sycamore tree was fairly common.
And so basically then it really has tremendous occult significance,
right?
The fact that they've built the Ark of Hope out of sycamore. Now, who is building the Ark of Hope? Who has authorized this? Who's putting up the money? And what is the Ark of Hope going to be used for?
Well, the Ark of Hope has been built to house the Earth Charter. And I know that you have taught or told our listeners about the Earth Charter at various times. It was at the aim back in 1992 at the UN Conference on Environment and Development, headed by Maurice Strong in Rio de Janeiro, to actually introduce the Earth Covenant back then. It wasn't introduced because the people weren't ready for it yet. There was a big push for it in the non-governmental organization, the big celebrations that they had apart from the official UN conference, but it wasn't introduced at the UN conference, and it's been in the making ever since. There were a lot of changes made, actually, right as we went into the millennium, where some of the language that was especially offensive was softened so it would be a little more acceptable to the United States and to others who valued human life, who weren't willing to submit human life to earth worship or make individual humans subservient to the whole image of the greater whole, the whole biosphere. But
basically, this is to be the new Ten Commandments for the world, isn't that
right?
What they've actually said about it? This will more or less replace the Ten Commandments? What have they said?
Right.
You have some of those great quotes.
Well, Maurice Strong said the real goal of the Earth Charter is that it will, in fact, become like the Ten Commandments. And Mikhail Gorbachev said back in 1997, do not do unto the environment of others what you would not want done to your own environment. My hope is that this charter will be a kind of Ten Commandments, a sermon on the mount that provides a guide for human behavior toward the environment in the next century. So he too equated it with the Ten Commandments. He got the Old and New Testament just a little bit mixed up, because Ten Commandments are not part of the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, of course, but people have to understand, this is the former dictator of Russia. Right. This is the former head of the Soviet secret police that kills people throughout the world. This is the butcher of Afghanistan, who was in charge, certainly for a time, a good time, when the Soviet Union was butchering the people there.
Right.
And yet, of course, this man is writing a new Ten Commandments, and he's writing it with some of the richest men in the world,
right.
Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, certainly the Stephen Rockefeller, who will lead the Rockefeller clan when David dies, a multi-billionaire. And if you think that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, you probably have stock in Enron, because of course the Gates and Warren Buffett are nothing compared to the Rockefellers. Their holdings are in the millions, and the Rockefellers' holdings are, I suspect, are in the trillions. But of course they don't want that known, and since they control so much of what we think through the media, why most Americans have no idea that working behind the scenes and really along occultic lines are these people of great wealth. And so what is going to happen now? You're going to put the Ten Commandments, or I should say the Earth Charter, into the new Ark, and then what else will be in there?
Right. Well, right now they have the Earth Charter, a copy of the Earth Charter in it, as it travels on a pilgrimage in various communities in the eastern part of the United States. It stopped by the United Nations back in February. And I have been told that it will be going back to the United Nations very shortly, the first part of June, sometime between the 3rd and the 14th of June, when the United Nations would, as a commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Rio Conference that was, as I mentioned earlier, headed up by Maurice Strong. And so it's carrying the copy of the Earth Charter, and then it's also carrying various art projects by children, and these projects are referred to as the Temenos Earth Masks, the Temenos Books. Temenos is a concept adopted by Carl Jung. It refers to a magic circle, a sacred space where you have certain energies, occult energies flowing through. It was connected to Greek mythology, actually, and the architecture of the Temple of Zeus that, of course, is exalted during the Olympic ceremonies. Again, it's a concept that has occult connotations. If you do a web search, this might be interesting for some of our listeners.
We're going to have to interrupt you. We'll do that as soon as we get back. But right now, of course, we have to tell our listeners that Radio Liberty is dependent upon those in the audience so that we can continue bringing you the information you're not going to get from Barbara Walters. He's not going to tell you about the Ark of Hope or the Luciferian significance of this mirror image of the story of the Old and New Testament. But of course, one of the things that you can do to help us is change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. And of course, if you just call them at 866-448-5631, that's 866-448-5631. And of course, the rates are very, very competitive. Service is excellent. When you call, you get a real live human being. And of course, 15% of what your average cost will come back to help finance my ministry, which is Radio Liberty. So give the call to 866-448-5631 and just tell them that you heard about Promise Vision on Radio Liberty. It's a Christian long-distance carrier. And then, of course, if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, they're not going to learn how to read phonetically, and the greatest gift you can give to a child is the ability to read and read properly and learn how to pronounce words phonetically and spell phonetically. Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly. Well, it's actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games plus 2 books. Most of these programs to teach children to read phonetically take a long time, and they usually cost $300-$400. This costs $139.95, and we recommend it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for a Phonopoly game, and I don't think you'll be sorry at all. We've had some excellent reports from people who've gotten them, and in about 20 hours you can undo all the harm that's been done to the mind of a child.
the Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this afternoon is Barrett Schoss. Incidentally, those of you who are listening to our advertisement, we were talking about the Confession of Faith by Cecil Rhodes. Actually, you'll never find it anyplace. It's been very, very carefully suppressed, but we have a copy, and we'll provide you with one if you want to get anything at all. Just ask for a copy of Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith. It's probably 4 or 5 pages, and he talks about the importance of creating a secret society to bring all of the underdeveloped world under English control, and of course then to draw America back into an alliance with Britain. Well, the power, of course, changed from England to the United States after the disastrous First World War. But you notice, whenever we do anything, England is always behind us. Well, that's a legacy of this secret society that Cecil Rhodes created. Well, our guest this afternoon is Barrett Schoss. And Barrett, of course, was going to talk to us about how people could actually check this out, go up on the Internet, Barrett?
Well, I was mentioning the word temenos, which was new to me. The Temenos earth masks, the Temenos books are all inside this counterfeit occult Ark of Hope made in the image of the original Ark of the Covenant that was in the holiest place in the ancient tabernacle in the wilderness where they were traveling for 40 years. And then, of course, it was the main meeting place with God in the temple that was built by Solomon. So it was so sacred that no one was allowed to touch it, and only the priest could carry it by the poles, the two rings on each side with poles through. So inside the original Ark of the Covenant, you had the rod that budded, Aaron's rod. And you had a jar of the manna from the wilderness plus the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, in this new counterfeit Ark of Hope, a counterfeit hope, you have the Earth Charter, and you have the Temenos masks, Earth masks, and you have the Temenos book. So I started looking up what Temenos means, because it's becoming apparently an important word. And, for example, if you go to the Prince's Foundation, this is the Prince of Wales, Charles. You find the work of the Temenos Academy, which is under the Prince's Foundation. And on the page where it introduces the Temenos Academy in Britain, we read that in the view of the Prince of Wales, there is an urgent need to adopt a universal spiritual outlook consonant with Plato's view that all branches of knowledge lead to the same eternal truth. The Temenos Academy seeks to be a place where that ideal may in some ways be realized.
And, of course, here we then get to back to Plato. And what everybody has missed, of course, is that Plato, as was his teacher Socrates, as was Socrates' teacher back a couple of generations, Pythagoras, were all deeply involved in the occult. They were subject and study of the studiers of the mystery religions. And, of course, then Aristotle picked up the mantle, and then his student, Alexander the Great, all involved in studying the mysteries. That was where the real power came from.
Right.
But, of course, most people don't understand that, and everything going on today is a counterfeit. In fact, the Earth Charter, they hope to have it adopted by all the nations of the world this September at the meeting that will be held in Johannesburg. And, of course, you have to understand that here all the richest and most powerful men in the world would be congregating, laying out their plan for the New World Order, the New World Religion.
Right. I'm going to read you one more statement about Temenos, because this word apparently is becoming so important. I have about 5 different papers from different websites, all under that name. Every one of them is occult. And here's one that's called the Temenos Project, and it says that the Temenos Project explores the role of artists as healers, tricksters, and visionaries. Devises long-term art project that cross boundaries of culture and art form. And then I wanted just to read a statement by Sally Linger, who actually designed this counterfeit art, and she just gives a brief expression or summary of how important art, multicultural art, is to this vision of multicultural spiritual unity. She says, image and form have the power to transform consciousness. The artwork the students created and the art itself carry a powerful message of peace, goodwill, love for the earth, and healing. And like the Olympic vision of unity and strength and personal empowerment, as I mentioned earlier, it's traveling from community to community, grassroots, building support from children and families and politicians in the communities that it's passing through.
Well, now, will this be in Johannesburg in August or September? Have you heard that?
I don't know. I haven't heard. I really don't know. I've only heard that it was supposed to be at the United Nations. But I don't know what the actual schedule is, and it may actually be in the process of being established right now.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, Barrett. Our young people going to the government schools are being indoctrinated with this idea of the importance of the United Nations, the importance of a world government.
Right.
And yet that has become the government of the Antichrist. And this is not being told to the Christians of this country. Our ministers aren't telling them that. If you study the occult, as I know you do and I do, every occultist wants a world government. Every communist wants a world government. Every socialist wants a world government. Every humanist wants a world government. And the leaders are the most powerful and richest people in America today. Have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to this idea of a world government. And tragically, most people don't even know what's wrong with a world government. What is wrong with this idea?
Well, there are a number of things that are wrong. May I just suggest, for those who want to find out what's wrong, you come to our website and read the UN Plan for Your Community, which is the local Agenda 21, which goes right along with the Earth Charter and the UN Plan for Your Mental Health, which shows that if you hold on to absolute, biblical absolutes, you will not fit. You will be persecuted. And certainly you will go through the relearning processes that people who resisted the Soviet government did in various parts of the world. The World Heritage, everything is... When we were traveling in Australia, Dr. Stan, we happened to visit a farm where they had actually deeded some of their land, the parents who had owned the farm earlier had taken such good care of this particular area that they had old trees and plants that were growing on their farm that you didn't have in the national forest right next to it, that it was adjacent to, because they had cared for it like in the ways that government didn't. So when they were asked if they would turn this over to World Heritage and they could continue to farm and it would just be under the World Heritage protection, they agreed to do that. They wanted to share what the wealth that they had, not monetary wealth, but the wealth in natural resources. But almost as soon as they did, the government started saying, restricting what they were doing. They could no longer farm. And they're not allowed to put up fences, so people who are hiking around there go right through the property like they do in the National Forest by destroying it. They didn't care about the farm. They didn't care about the trees, the 100 species of trees and plants that grow on this place. They're not even willing. Now they've taken away their livelihood. They will not help fund the kind of protection that they had provided before. And all they wanted was just ownership and control of the land.
Well, of course, everything has to do with control. They talk about their, oh, how much they care about human life, and yet it is these wicked people who've created the wars and the revolutions that resulted in hundreds and hundreds of millions of deaths during the last century. And this is what people don't understand. All of these wars, if you study them carefully, can be traced back to the same occult origins.
Right.
If you read their writings in the Global Biodiversity Assessment and their other publications, they really want to mass genocide. They want to get the population down to 2 billion or 1 billion or maybe even 500 million.
Right.
And people don't understand that these people are wicked people, and they have an agenda. And you and I, people of Christian beliefs, do not fit into that. And they've openly talked, in fact, in my sustainable development. I quote Barbara Marx Hubbard, who talks about the necessity of killing off that one quarter of the population that won't evolve to these higher levels. And she says that's not your job to eliminate them. That's ours, because we are the writers of the Pale Horse Death. And if you want to get the actual copies of her original document, we have it, or it's all included in our sustainable development syllabus.
Well, you know, I have to just, Dr. Stan, I haven't read any better presentation of the rural government and the rulers behind it, the rich found, the people who really pull the strings, the financial strings, than your Brotherhood of Darkness. I just wonder, that just opened my eyes, even though I knew a lot of what was going on.
Well, that coming from you, that's quite a tribute.
I really appreciate that. You know, I was going to, can I just give the example of the conference in 1995 when Robert Mueller was speaking in Berkeley, California? They were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the United Nations.
Well, we're going to have to take a break, and so I want you to keep that until we get back. But let's not get your website out right now, and then we'll tell about Robert Mueller when we get back.
Okay, it's crossroad.to. Crossroad is singular, no S at the end. Crossroad.t like in Tom, O like in Oscar, T-O.
Crossroad.to, and we recommend it to you. We link from ours to Barrett's, but why don't you go to crossroad.to and start reading those essays and get yourself an advanced college education on what's really going on. Well, this is the time I want to mention, of course, that we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we don't say that they're going to do wonderful things for you, but a lot of our listeners certainly make amazing, amazing claims for what's happened to them as far as skin and other conditions. All we can do is suggest you try it and see if you like it. It's available in soap and moisturizing soap and lotion and gel and neutralizer. And if you'd like to get an introductory set, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to just learn more about it, have a pamphlet and an audio tape, and give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The man who produces it makes a lot of claims. We don't necessarily agree, but we will tell you that we carry the product because so many of our listeners have gotten it, and they just have, so many of them really like it, and we get so many reorders from people who are pleased with it. Now, we want to just mention this time that we have a unique opportunity to syndicate our Saturday program, a new Saturday program. It'll start out on 5 major stations in the Northwest, and then, of course, it'll be on satellite, and we are going to have help actually getting this onto other stations, what they call syndication. But quite frankly, we need financial help to be able to do that. And if you'd like to make a pledge, however much you can, for 6 months. And once we have raised the sufficient funds, we'll go ahead, sign the contract, and we'll be doing a new program, and you'll be able to, of course, get that on the Internet, but more important, it will be heard hopefully all across the nation. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you'd like to help.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes, and how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Barrett Schoss, and her website is crossroad.to. Now, she's going to tell you a little bit about Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller was for 30 years in the United Nations. For a large part of that time, probably close to 20 years, he was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations and worked with many of the Secretary Generals. Robert Mueller is certainly a disciple of Alice Bailey, and Alice Bailey was a Luciferian. Robert Mueller has written a number of books where he lays out his ideas and his plan for the coming wonderful new world that lies ahead. He has actually written a World Core curriculum to be used in schools throughout the world, and he opens thereby, of course, attributing his ideas to
the spirit guide for Alice Bailey.
Right. Why don't you go ahead and tell that?
Well, actually, back in 1985, there was a symposium, a conference in Europe, and 12 nations agreed to make that World Core curriculum the foundation of their world education program, or their entire education program, because it's not just teaching global or multicultural or environmental education. It's a new structure for teaching from kindergarten or first grade up all the way through elementary and high school, in cycles, repeating the same images that I presented in a very simple way originally, going through year after year, reinforcing what you learned before until you truly see the world from the global occult perspective. Well, Robert Mueller was one of the speakers, the keynote speaker, at the Celebration of the Spirit in 1995, UN 50-year anniversary for the United Nations, and I went to hear him, and it was interesting. It was a day-long seminar or day-long conference, and they began in the morning with a Native American chief going through, you know, casting a circle and then invoking the spirits from the north and the south and the east and south and west, and using sage to purify everyone. No need for Jesus Christ on the cross. The sage and the incense would take care of that. And it's interesting that the artwork on this counterfeit ark celebrates the four seasons on the four side panels, and the four elements, and the four directions, so that you have, in a sense, a reminder of that same occult ceremony of invoking demonic forces.
All right, now you're saying that this is painted on the sides of the Ark of Hope.
Right.
And, of course, the same idea, north, south, east, and west. All pagan symbols were then being demonstrated at this meeting you attended,
right,
where Robert Mueller was speaking.
Right, so then a few hours later he began to speak, and he was talking about the Earth Charter. He said that he was giving a little bit of a history of the United Nations, and he said the first period took up human rights. The UN Charter was for humans, and no one thought of the Earth. Then he said by 1980, suddenly climatologists warned us that climate might go berserk. The atmosphere was getting warmer and warmer because of CO2. Now, of course, in 1995, it had stopped warming. Most of the heating took place the first 50 years, if you go back a 100-year period. So it was going down after the CO2 was going up. But that isn't important to people within the United Nations, because they need scientific data, true or not, in order to back up what they're doing. And then he said, this is the third period. Now Earth is number one. Humanity is number two.
In other words, people really aren't that important.
Exactly. They're in the way. He said, now we must deal with the rights of the planet. Sure. There will be an Earth Charter. I got a letter a few weeks ago from the International Council on Human Duties. It asked how we could have human rights but not human duties and responsibilities. I suggested we put this need as an item on the floor of the UN Assembly. We need a universal declaration of ethics and a universal declaration of duties and responsibilities, and that's in this Earth Charter.
And of course, what most people don't understand is that these people look at the world differently. People are the problem. They're not the solution. Man's ingenuity has created all the problems, and we'd be better off without men and women. And you say, well, that's crazy talk. That's true, but that is what they really want. And if you get into their population control agenda, and the reason, of course, that they have allowed the murder of so many people, the one-child policy, and the population control programs throughout the world, they're not interested in people. They're not interested in their suffering. They're interested in eliminating as many of God's creations as possible, because this is a conspiracy against God, and, of course, replacing man with Mother Earth.
Right. He went on to say we need a world court with an ethic to condemn this kind of action. And actually, of course, we have that now. It doesn't condemn violations against the rights of the earth at this point, but it deals with human rights. And I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they couldn't include this, because you can see some of the rationales for it. Then he said we need an ethic for it. And he listed the most glaring planetary evils that he could think of, such as large families, overconsumption, garbage, business, and religious differences.
And, of course, I mean, the people who really preach these things are like people like Al Gore with a great big family and Ted Turner with five kids, and he thinks that nobody should have more than one or two. But he's not willing to kill his own off. He just wants to kill yours off.
Right. And then he admitted that the charter must be flexible, one that can be defined and interpreted according to the world's changing needs and perceptions. Quote, we need ethics in time, he said. What's right today may not be right for tomorrow. So what he's saying is, what we write, this Earth Charter, has to be open-ended, and we can expect it to be open-ended. Our Constitution has been made open-ended. It's being interpreted even though it wasn't intended to be open-ended. But the idea is that you adapt them, you pass something that's passable now that people might accept, and then you reinterpret it so that it will include all the things that you couldn't say originally. And finally, when he finished talking, he invited the audience to ask questions. And one man asked, in a pluralistic world, would a centralized institution tend to become insensitive to ideas other than its own? If the UN becomes involved in spirituality, could it cause church-state violations? Now, these questions were absurd or incomprehensible to Mueller and to other people in the audience. And so one woman jumped up. She became very angry, and she shouted. In a whole big assembly, she shouted, in Oklahoma, we saw the result of men who hate our central government. Now, this man didn't hate our central government. He was very gentle, polite, gracious, and he asked a very rational question. But the fact was that he asked a question. He questioned what was presented. He wanted to clarify some things that were confusing to him. And that wasn't permissible, because that's not permissible from our world leaders. They have zero tolerance for anybody who isn't totally with them. And then Mueller said, and again, he was virtually shouting, was very angry. He said, the U.S. behaves like the first 13 states behaved in the days of Washington. Diversity is beautiful, but these differences cannot condone saying, as the U.S. says, I am right and all others are wrong. And then he swore, and I won't repeat the words that he said, but he swore ear profanity, and then he turned around and walked off the stage and refused to answer any more questions.
I sort of laugh when I think of that. I remember one of the international AIDS conferences I attended, and there was a representative of the World Health Organization there, and I simply rose in the audience and said, can you tell me why we're not trying to stop this AIDS epidemic and using the standard public health approaches we use with all other diseases, or sexually transmitted diseases? And he began to yell and scream and turned red and froth at the mouth. And, you know, and you suddenly realize that these people will not tolerate any dissent at all. They have their agenda, and their agenda's already killed between 23 and 27 million. Another 40 million infected will die. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. And, of course, they put down anybody who asks any questions with tremendous anger, so that after that, everybody's afraid to speak out.
Right. Intimidation is part of the process of bringing people into conformity, into compliance with a new way of thinking.
Amen to that. Our telephone number, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you're out there and you have a question for Barrett. The people of great wealth and great power have a plan. not for America, for the entire world. And America's wealth is being used, both wealth and power are being used to force this on all the unfortunate people of the world. Well, Barrett, you know, of course, the Ark of Hope really is pivotal to this whole thing. The Earth Charter will become the new rules for the world and, of course, will replace the Ten Commandments. Isn't that the idea?
Well, that's the idea. The idea is to actually, in a sense, transfer the sense of sacredness and holiness that you associate with the original Ark of the Covenant, where God gave very precise dimensions and descriptions. This was made after his design, not man's design. Now man has made something that is a look-alike, an imitation, and the hope is that the majority of people no longer know scripture well enough to actually complain about this imitation. They will have a sense of holiness, and that will be transferred to the new item. And there will be great support because, after all, they're taking a biblical symbol and making it universal. And shouldn't that make everybody feel really good? Now, one of the things that we, you know, again, part of the description, we talked about the sycamore tree, whereas the original was the acacia tree. Another part of the new ark are the poles that thread through those two rings on each side that people would carry it with. And if you go to the Earth Charter Initiative, now again, that's in a sense part of the United Nations, because it's not a United Nations document at this time, even though it is, because it's only the people who have been involved in the United Nations who have been writing it and promoting it. Such as Rockefeller and Mueller and Gorbachev and Maurice Strong. But if you go to the Earth Charter Initiative, it will describe this ark, and it will take you to a link that's specifically the Ark of Hope. But on the Earth Charter page it says, quote, "The carrying poles are fashioned like unicorn horns, which, according to legend, render evil ineffective." And so what they're doing with this supposedly sacred object is linking it not just with the artwork on the four panels, which are occult, full of universal symbols as well as what we described earlier, but they're connecting it to the unicorn horns, which supposedly transmit spiritual forces. And so what you have is something very similar to what you have in Harry Potter books, where you have, again, another popular message that has touched the hearts and the imaginations of people around the world, especially the children. And, of course, the unicorn horns carry the same message. These are symbols that transmit power, and that makes them even more sacred and special.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, but this is the time, of course, when I have to remind our listeners that we are listener-supported, and if you'd like to help Radio Liberty, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, or you'll get our four best tapes in the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us reach out across America. The reason we're losing, and we continue losing, is because people don't know the truth. And you're not going to get it from the controlled media. And if you don't believe the media is controlled, you should get the book we're carrying now called Mass Control, written by Jim Keith, shortly before his very untimely and unusual death. But Mass Control goes into how the media is actually controlled in America. And we'll be having a wonderful program tomorrow with a former CBS producer, Emmy Award-winning producer, who found out what happened when you work for the media and you try to tell the truth. You won't want to miss tomorrow evening's or program with Christina Borgensen. But if you'd like to help us, and we have a voice, we can give people like Christina, who no longer has a voice, even though she was the top of her profession, but when she tried to tell the truth, that ended it. Well, we have a voice, and with your help, that voice is going to expand and resonate across America. If you'd like to help us syndicate one or several of our programs, give us a call and make a donation. We really need your help, because, of course, if we lose America, you have no place to go. And believe me, when freedom is lost, why, good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry appease are generally hanged by those they hope to please. And remember those words of Dante, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality. There is no position, place for neutrality. We've got to save America. Will you help us?
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Barrett Schoss. Her website is crossroad.to. And what you must understand is that everything the devil does is a mirror image of Christianity. Certainly, they have their masses. They are black masses. And they do everything they can to desecrate Christianity. And people say, oh, this doesn't really happen. That's only in the X-Files. Ladies and gentlemen, it happens all the time. And you get our four-taped set on the Satanism and Deliverance or the Pagan Agenda or certainly the Bohemian Grove. We have so much information about this. We have a great video. It's called Deceived, a fictionalized account of what's going on in the military today as they tap into the dark side. Do you know we actually have chaplains in the military who are Satanists, some who are witches? What's wrong with that? Well, you have to understand that they're operating openly. That's just why Gorbachev has his headquarters up at the Presidio, right along with George Lucas of Star Wars fame, because the whole message of Star Wars is the occult. You can do it. Just use your mind. Use your faculties. There is no God. You become the God yourself. Isn't that true, Gerbert?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wanted to mention what you were saying right before the break. I wanted to mention Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33, which talks about the watchman who speaks out, who receives God's warnings, take them to heart, and then speak out about the drifting away from that center of God's will, where he will bless the nation and guard the people and provide for all their needs. When there aren't watchmen, I mean, you're a watchman. I try to be a watchman, Dr. Stan. We need to speak out the best we can, and as he gives us a message, and pray that people will hear and heed and carry the message on further. One of the sad statements in the Bible is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget. Otherwise, your heart will become proud. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, you will surely be destroyed. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the watchman would stand up and say, we are turning away from God. We are forgetting. Let's go back. And you're doing that, Dr. Stan. I just appreciate that so much.
Well, I appreciate that. Opportunity, and certainly here I am, a retired orthopedic surgeon, and we're on the air 5 hours every day and 2 hours on Sunday, and new opportunities are opening up, and especially at this time, I honestly think there has to be some significance to the timing. Perhaps these are very, very, I'm sure these are very important times. Time is running out for America, because America has turned its back on God. People say God bless America, but they don't believe it. I mean, they're just simply words.
And well, they certainly become words in the hearts and minds of people who don't really know God, who are imagining a God that's a more popular image of somebody who gives and provides, who doesn't hold us accountable. And God says in Psalm 50 that you think that I am just like you. And the message is, he's not, and he'll hold us accountable for not knowing him. So when we say God bless America, but we don't take time to know his will and follow him, it becomes meaningless. But you know, Dr. Stan, in a time like this where people are, we've talked so much about government schools, in the shift away from fact and logic to myth and imagination and speculation, and what happens is that people have no real foundation for what is real, what is true, what is actual, what are the absolutes anymore. Would I have time just to share this one, a new promotion for oneness that's on the internet?
You go right ahead.
Okay, somebody sent me an art contest art contest announced for young Canadians, and it says, do you know any young Canadians age 14 and 18? Come to visit Butterfly 208. And I'm mentioning that because I think our listeners might enjoy going there because it illustrates this incredible foolishness of science, politically correct science, and that people will believe anything that tickles their ears. And it says, this contest sponsored by the Canadian International Development Agency, together with Learning for a Sustainable Future, provides youth with the opportunity to learn about international development. Why the name Butterfly 208? A mathematical theory says that if a butterfly flaps its wings in another part of the world, say in China, the air disturbance may cause a storm in Canada a month later.
Well, that certainly is very logical. I mean, if you don't believe that, why? I mean, how can people believe this garbage? Well, if it's said convincingly enough and often, and if it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, people will believe.
They believe it if they like it, and if it sounds sweet and nice. At one of the Gorbachev conferences, they were talking about don't clap, we want silence, and so everybody did, it wiggled their fingers in the air, and that was the butterfly effect.
Right.
We have a page about symbols. I'm just mentioning this because it's important. It's amazing how they tie little messages, you know, big, actually not little messages, big important messages to symbols and images, and this is what the Ark is all about. Here you have the Ark, and the message is peace and unity, pluralism. We are all one. We must sacrifice ourselves for the earth.
All right. Let's go to Maurice, who's calling from Santa Cruz, of all places. Hi, Maurice. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I had a question. So regarding gold, I did invest money in gold, and I was really kind of anxious to take it out so in order to buy property.
All right.
But it sounds like at this point, it's probably not the best time right now.
No.
It might go up.
Well, I would, if I were you, I would just sit tight. But actually, you're calling in on a different program.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're listening to KFER, and we're broadcasting
yes,
on
right,
KKMC.
Right.
God bless you. But right now, you give me a call off the air, and I'll tell you what I think. But right now, don't do anything quickly. We are entering some very, very difficult financial times, because when the people turn their back on God, why, of course, God eventually turns his back on a nation, and you may need some stability. Okay, thanks so much for calling, Maurice. You can call me right after the program, and I'll be here, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. We have a little problem for our people who don't know. We do a simulcast. We do one program that we did last night, and then another program live. And sometimes people hear one program and then call in on the other one. So that was what happened. Anyway, you know, I think that the subject you brought up is so important. The Ark of Hope, containing the new 10 commandments for the world. And it's called the Earth Charter. And of course, as Prerit has said, this was to be accepted by the nations of the world this September. So our attention is being focused on all sorts of other things. Oh, the threat of another terrorist attack. My goodness, you know, they're going to attack any time. And if they don't attack, maybe we'll create an attack or something. We've got to keep the people off base. We've got to keep them frightened. And, of course, nobody ever asks who financed the terrorists, who actually put up the money, who trained the terrorists. We don't want to ask those questions because we wouldn't like the answers. But, so anyway, Barrett, what are your thoughts? What is the significance of what's happening now? And how can we put what's happening as far as this move towards worship of the earth and turning our back on God? Isn't this even infiltrating the churches?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Stan. And that's saddest of all, because when there's no place, no clear teaching of truth, and there is in many churches across the country. I won't say that, but I also get letters from people across the country who say, I can't find a Bible teaching church in our community. Our church is just turning away. The consumers are the unbelievers in the community, and everything is conformed to what they want to see the church be, so that it becomes popular, so that it grows. Where do we go in worship? And so, of course, what's happening is that people are not equipped to really know God, to follow Him, to take a stand, even to claim all those wonderful promises that He has for those who love Him and are willing to, you know, who would rather die than compromise, who are truly committed to serving God. Well, God has says that He will be our shelter and our armor and our strength. He'll be everything that we need. But when people don't know Him, they can't take advantage of those promises. They can't really, they can't, if you don't come to Him based on who He is, you're not going to get.
And of course, I think an awful lot of people have a very aberrant view of what God is. God loves everybody. God never punishes anybody. There is no hell. There is no punishment. We don't talk about the blood of Christ any longer.
Right.
We've created an entirely new gospel.
We have reinvented the gospel. And this gospel doesn't, the new gospel doesn't save anybody, but it makes a lot of people feel good. What we have is an expression of the Old Testament warning that God gave through Isaiah in chapter 5, verse 20, where he said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who put light for darkness and darkness for light. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And those are the people who reinvent God, reimagine God, and rewrite the gospel to fit what they believe will be most popular. It's a sad time, Dr. Stan, and yet I know that in the middle of all of this, it seems like there is a remnant of those who will not compromise, who are coming together across the internet. They're hearing your program. They're hearing, getting information through internet. And we're a community that needs to stand together, pray together, and just call out for God's wisdom and direction so that we can do everything we can to wake up as many people in the time that we have of freedom.
Amen to that. And remember what Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, certainly Barrett is a watchman on the wall. God bless you, Barrett. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we ask you to pray for America. And, of course, pray for revival, because there's not revival if we don't get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ rather than the new gospel that's so very, very popular. Why, of course, we're going to lose America. And because our freedom came from God, and once we turn our back on God, then America will go exactly as all great societies have gone before, into depravity, and that's what's happening in America today. We ask you to pray for our leaders, and we ask you, of course, to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty, to pray for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
what?
No, I was kind of waiting for the tea. Yeah, first I went off the borderline, and I said somebody asked a question, and I'm pretty sure I asked him if he was embarrassed. Anyway.
Anyway, is that
good? That's awesome. What is the program?